Welcome to the Near Post. We are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. Before we kick things off tonight, I'd like to unleash on what we're basically going to be chatting to all you Near Posters tonight. And we've got a great lineup of things like the Socceroos squad, some youngsters in and some youngsters out and some oldies in. So we're obviously going for a more experienced squad there tonight. But we're about to cap things off now, so I'll get straight into it with our beautiful Near Post theme song.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
As I said, welcome to the Near Post. My name is Lucy Zelich, and thank you all for joining us tonight. With me in the studio, as always, are our favourite Near Post panellists. We've got Paddy Bordier. Patrick, welcome to the show.
I'd like to think of myself as the Ognanovsky of the Near Post.
The Ognanovsky of the Near Post. Can't wait to chat a little bit more about that one. And Aaron Walker, our another favourite Near Post panellist. How are you going, Aaron?
Not too bad, Lucy. And Facebook reliably tells me it is someone's birthday today.
You cannot escape it. I'm going to take that down. It is actually my birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
And what a better day to spend it, and what a better way to spend it, should I say, than actually being here on the Near Post.
And here are the champagne and flowers.
Obviously, they're not paying well enough. But we'll go straight into the thick of things. Aaron, I understand that you're going to lead the show for us tonight, which is always a pleasure for us as well. So do you want to get straight into our show dedication for us?
Oh, not a problem at all. And as alluded to just before, today's show dedication is going to be to Sasha Ognanovsky.
Woohoo!
Finally got a call up to the Socceroos squad. Whether he's well and truly entered the hard way, and we'll get into that a bit more later. As always with the Near Post, we start with a quiz, and today's quiz question is going to be, if you have a look at today's Socceroos squad, there is three players that have got double-figure goals for the Socceroos. They've scored more than 9 goals. Can we name them? But before we get to the answers, we'll just run through the standard spiel that we always go through. If you want to contact the Near Post, you can do so at flanagan.amon@gmail.com. You can catch the podcast on the www.nearpost.blogspot.com. You can catch you can also catch it on iTunes. We're all over the place. Halftime Heroes, xxfm.org.au. You just cannot get away from the Near Post. Now, guys, quiz question. Who thinks they know? Lucy, we'll start with you.
All right, you'll give me a go. Obviously, I can't go past. I mean, we're obviously taking into account international players, am I right?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the guys that are in the squad this time.
Yeah. Timmy Cahill?
Absolutely.
You can't go past him, can you?
Now, it's 9 goals as a Socceroo and not just ever in their career.
Double figures as a Socceroo.
So, Scott McDonald, out.
No, yeah, that's right.
Bugger. Matty Mackay, out.
So these guys are falling off even as we speak. Schwartz, has he ever scored a goal? Come on.
No, but Bosnich has.
Ah, right.
Bosnich has.
I'm not surprised.
A more prolific Socceroo than Scott McDonald.
Yeah. Wow.
Despite the notable disadvantage of being a goalkeeper.
Which one did you go for, Lucy?
I went for Timmy Cahill.
Timmy Cahill. How about Emmetson? How many goals has he scored?
He's been around a long time.
He has, yeah.
You're dead on there. You're dead on there, Paddy. Yeah.
Nice.
He's played 77 matches and he's got 17 goals, which is not a bad return for
him. That's not bad. He's been, he really has been along for a long while. Very consistent. He's up and down that wing.
There's one more I'll let the listeners know. It's Harry Kuehl.
Harry Kuehl, again, there you go. Another obvious one. You can't go past Harry.
Harry's got 13 in 47, which is a nice little total in itself.
Yeah, wow. Look at that.
Yes, turns out he's quite useful on the football pitch.
Contrary to what Robbie Slater would have to say, though.
So, guys, we'll get into this week's news. We'll go one at a time. I'll kick it off, and that's that the FFA have announced the sale of Adelaide United. Finally, it's off their books, and that's to a local consortium led by Robert Gerrard. Gerrard's got some interesting ideas. One of the quotes I saw early on was that they don't intend to lose money. They want to make money. Good luck with that. Not many people do it in football. And they also intend on joining forces with a rival code in the local AFL League. I'm not sure what to make of that. Paddy, your thoughts?
This is one of those things where it could possibly work, but it's very, very difficult to get that connection. I know that it's with the South Australian AFL team.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the clubs are quite close together, so they're hoping to do sort of a deal where if you buy one ticket, you get another ticket free and get some people through the gates, which I think is good. And I think also Australia doesn't quite have – it's a sport-loving nation. We don't have a population where we can divide people into, you know, just football players and just AFL football supporters and just AFL supporters, mm. or just rugby league supporters. When you like sport, you like sport. And I think there's something in it. It might go horribly wrong, but, you know, there might be some benefit in it. I'd be happy to see that.
Lucy, any thoughts?
Look, at the end of the day, any money that we can get into this league is something that we need. And, you know, I'm all for people coming in and supporting them. We saw recently with the Newcastle Jets, they've had someone that's signed on till. What year is it that they've signed on till?
I think it was a 10-year deal.
It was.
Oh, was it? Oh, no, it was.
No, it was about a 20-year deal.
It's a 10-year deal, but it's deal is already X amount through Constantine had it, so he's taking it up to the end of the 10-year deal, which expires in 2020.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, again, the association with the AFL team there, I don't know about how that's going to actually work out. You know, for me as a football fan, that's pretty insulting considering I actually despise AFL. But the more money that we get into it, the better. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm so against that. I really, really am, because I think if you like sport, then you can like many sports. You don't have to be exclusive to one sport. You don't have to just have one lover. You can have as many as you like.
Well, these guys actually own a local AFL team. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I thought the benefits that they were looking at were that they've got some staff working for this club, they've got some staff working for Adelaide. Adelaide's played in the summer, A-League's played in the summer, AFL's played in the winter, so they basically want the backroom admin staff to work across both codes rather than having a big 6-month holiday in the off-season.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we've got to move on. Socceroos coach Holger Osik has named his squad for the upcoming international friendly match against Egypt at the Cairo International Stadium. More on that later.
I know we're going to talk about it later, but some surprise inclusions, hey?
Absolutely.
Just as a bit of a teaser before we get into it, yeah.
The ladies were in action over the weekend with kickoff of the Westfield W League.
Woo!
Canberra got up 4-1, where near post is from Canberra, so we support the girls. Well done,
of course,
girls.
We do.
Socceroo Harry Kewell returned from injury to make his first appearance for Galatasaray in quite some time. Unfortunately, they went down to Trabzonspor in the Turkish Super League on Sunday. Tim Cahill celebrated his 50th premiership goal when he scored in Everton's 2-2 draw with Blackpool. Brisbane Roar, affirmed of title favourites in the A-League after winning the top of the table clash with Adelaide and going top of the ladder.
Whew, what a result that was.
An absolute
spanking.
And what I think is the biggest news of the week is FFA chairman and godfather of all Australian football, Frank Lowy, said that win or lose the December World Cup bid, he will stay on as chairman. That is fantastic news.
Wow. Yeah.
Gee, that's good.
Very, very good news.
He's been good for us.
A lot of speculation that he was going to jump ship if the bid didn't get up.
I know. I lost sleep over it even.
I wouldn't go that far, but it was very good.
You know, these are the things I think about. And honestly, truly, Lowy has brought about a revolution in Australian football, connecting us to Asia, being a big part of that, connecting us to Asia, really seeing through the A-League. We need that stuff. We were reeling for a long while, so I'm very happy to have him.
Brought us out of the football wilderness.
Hell yeah.
But let's get on to the really big news, and that's the Socceroos squad. Guys, it was an interesting squad. A lot of youngsters that people thought might get a run. I must admit, I thought Ersan Golan would get a run. He's a fantastic young player.
You've been banging on about him for some time now.
We say mentioned rather than banging on.
Banging on. I prefer banging on. It's my birthday. I can do whatever I want. Basically, you know, we've heard a lot about him, and I'm not sure if there are a lot of listeners out there, but, you know, I don't know too much about him, Aaron. Can you give us a bit of enlightenment as to, you know, his background, you know, where he's come from and you know, the grassroots development? Did he come through Australia or, you know, what's the go?
Played for Hume City as a youngster and forced his way into the Australian under-16s or 19s, I think it was, and then playing for one of the Australian junior teams, got spotted over in England by a Turkish coach who took him over to his professional club, which was in the second division in Turkey. They did really well. The team actually got promoted. He actually got, I'm pretty sure he got player of the year in the Turkish second division, which is quite some accolade.
Yeah.
Got promoted, and then all the big Turkish clubs were onto him. Very young, fantastic, big, strong player. Mm. Galatasaray wanted him, but Bethikas ended up taking him. Bethikas, a huge club.
I want to know why we don't know enough about him. If he's, you know, if obviously by the sounds of things, he's done quite well and he's an accomplished player so far, but why don't we know much about him on Australian shores?
Well, he's never really played in Australia. Mm. Turkey's a little out of the way. Before Kewell went there, no one knew a lot about it. If you go to England, I think it's a different story, and even Holland these days, Germany. Mm. But Turkey's just, especially the Turkish second division, a little out of the way. So it's true. Holger Osik actually talked specifically about this selection and said he hasn't played that many times with Bethikas. I know he's there. I know he's a good player, but at the moment we're going for different players.
Okay.
One he did include was Sasa Oganovsky. Now, I think me and you, Paddy,
differ on our opinions
here. The Og Monster. Tell me why you don't love the Og Monster.
Why? I'm surprised.
I do like him. But yeah. He's 31 years old. Yeah. I don't think he'll get game time in this game. I think he's in there to be in the camp. As a 31-year-old, I'd rather see someone like Luke de Veer in there. Luke de Veer's had a fantastic season, 21 years old, leading Brisbane. He's doing really, really well. That's a prospect for the future. And considering he's not going to get game time, I'd rather have that kind of guy hang around in the camp.
Mm. Okay, well, here's the other thing to think about. This is the Asian Cup we're heading into. Mm-hmm. Sasha plays in South Korea. Mm-hmm. He's the captain of his club. He knows he has very practical experience in Asia. He knows the Asian game to a certain extent. He's a good person, and it doesn't matter necessarily if he gets the game time, but he's a good person to have in that squad. He is a leader, and frankly, this is a squad that you referred to earlier about a squad full of oldies and no young guys. This is a big chance for us to win the Asian Cup.
You say he's a good person in the squad. He was thrown out of Brisbane for creating discontent amongst the squad. Do you remember that? He went to Adelaide.
I don't think you can criticise someone for that. Has that been confirmed? I don't think you can criticise someone for being thrown out of Brisbane because they lost a lot of players.
I was before that. I was in Frankfurt Arena's day and they had to get rid of him, even though he was a fantastic player for them. So I'm not so sure. I'd prefer to see a young player in the squad. Lucy, we haven't asked you yet.
Look, I'm actually happy for his inclusion, and more so I'd prefer him to be in the squad than some of the other ones who are already in there at the moment. I mean, you look at Matt Mackay. What I was going to do briefly after our conversation was just quickly go through the list for the listeners to find out who are the actual players in there to see if they disagree or agree. But, you know, he's been playing really well there. He's been scoring goals. He's the captain. I mean, why not bring him in? And like Paddy was saying, you know, he's played Asian football, so he's got his head around it. So I think it's perfect preparation for him to be brought in, particularly at a game where it's a friendly and, that you know, they just want to see if the squad can gel. But, you know, I think he deserves to be there.
I'd like to see here's where I think that he does deserve to be there. And there's a part of me that knows that he's been out on the outer for a very long time. He's never played for soccer, so I just want to see him get a cap. But like Jade North, for example, you talked about Luke de Veer, and I think he is one of the players that we should be bringing in. He's a very good defender, very strong, and he's very good at in the air and the attacking side of the pitch. I'd like to see him there instead of Jade North, for example.
I'd agree with that to a certain extent, but Jade North has built up his international experience, and that counts for something. Where
he's not playing well now.
By the time Ogunovsky builds that, he played really well in the last game. Jade North and John.
But one summer day does not make a season, my friend.
It's true. No, I'm not a big Jade North fan either. Yeah. But I'm just saying, Jade North has built that international experience. If they were going to pick Sasa Ogunovsky, it had to be prior to the last World Cup in the lead up, or even the last Asian Cup.
Well, let's look at the squad now. We've obviously got Tim Cahill, David Carney, Nathan Coe, and another one that's a surprise, I guess. Aaron, do you know anything about Nathan Coe?
Not a lot. He's been hanging around in the outers of the squad for a while. I've seen his name and read a bit about him. Never seen him play. But, I like Holger's philosophy here. He said, yes, I've seen Eugene. I've seen Adam Federici. I just want to see what a couple of these other guys
can
do.
Coe has to offer.
And you never know. He could have something brilliant. Jason Chelina, Brett Emerton, Richard Garcia, Brett Holman, Mila Jedinak, Josh Kennedy, Harry Kuehl, Scott McDonald, Matty Mackay, Lucas Neal, Jade North, Sasha Ovnanovsky, Mark Schwarzer, Michael Thwaite, Carl Valeri, Dario Vidicic, and Luke Wilshere. Another one that stood out to me, Matty Mackay. What do we think about that?
I don't mind it.
You don't? No, really?
I don't mind it. I think he's probably taken in there a bit of a token A-leaguer. I mean, when Holger came in, they would have pulled him aside. And the first thing they would have said is, mate, you need to put some A-leaguers in the squad because the last guy got crucified for it. So I think he's a little bit of a token pick in that regard. But I've seen him play all this season. He's playing pretty well. He played pretty well in the last game where they brought him off the bench against Paraguay. And,
Is he Socceroos material, though?
No, he's not a long-term
player. And you were talking about young players, and I think Matt Mackay...
He's 27.
If we're going to build the young players, let's get some genuinely young players coming through. And I just don't feel that Matt Mackay has that much space to blossom.
One that I thought was a little unlucky to miss out was David Williams of the North Queensland Fury. I think he's had a fantastic season. He has that bit of spark. He's got a lot of energy. And I think that's something which could be really handy off the bench for the Socceroos, because at the moment our squad is really bereft of goal-scoring options.
I couldn't agree more.
Talking about lack of goal-scoring options, Richard Garcia has made the squad. And Richard Garcia, we were talking about this off air.
We did,
I just don't think that, again, he's one of those players that maybe has given us all that he has to offer is simply a workhorse, and we can get workhorses from elsewhere, a younger player to fit that match, an A-League player, dare I say, rather than Richard Garcia. I don't think Richard Garcia – I think he has a high profile because he played for a club in the Premier League, but I really don't feel that he's earned his place in that squad.
I mean, if you want to talk about token A-League players, bang in two, because I really don't think, like you were saying there, Paddy, that he deserves to be in the squad, particularly from watching his games in the World Cup. He's not a striker, okay? That's number one for me. And I just don't think he has any actual star quality about him as an athlete. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think there's... I'd like to talk about David Carney. The last couple of international games Blackpool haven't even used him yet. There's some terrible quotes I saw when he went to Blackpool saying, oh, look, I know this is a small club, but I'd like to use it as a springboard to get my career in action. I was thinking, David, you'd be very, very lucky to get game time in Blackpool. And it turns out I'm not too far
off.
And
his last club, is the club before that, the one in England. Didn't he slag off the manager?
He hasn't had regular game time since he played for Sydney FC. And I've noticed the last few international matches, the opposition has very heavily targeted our left flank, and I think there's a reason for that. Another reason for getting Golman, because who is our second choice left back now that Chipperfield is gone? Looking through this squad, I think they'd probably shove Wilkshire there and push back Emmett, and I don't think that's a good idea. We need a successor at least.
Exactly, that's right. And I don't see that, you know, of course it's always great to see that, you know, the national coach, when they do come in, that they start to use these token A-League players. But what it comes down to is, regardless of, you know, whether or not Pim was getting crucified for that fact, I didn't care. All I cared was that he was making the right squad choices based on their consistent performances, obviously, and what we've got available at this time. You know, I mean, who's the young player in there that we can really start to focus on and think about as our future? You've got Dario Vidicic in there.
He's the only one under 26
and
years
that's
old.
It. Yep. That's it. Who else? Who else in that squad is the future of our football squad?
This is a squad designed to play for the Asian Cup, and I think Osek is making sure that he keeps his job.
Okay, I think you're right, guys, but it's about time we moved on. We've very limited time here on the Near Post, and we've got to get to the A-League, and I'll quickly run through the match results over the weekend. We had North Queensland Fury, very unlucky to go down 1-0 to the Central Coast Mariners. Brisbane Roar beat Adelaide United in one of the best displays of A-League football I've seen.
And we'll talk about it later, yep.
Melbourne Victory went down to Gold Coast, who played in a very interesting style, not quite reminiscent of Pim Verbeek.
The lizard formation, I think. Mirren called it.
Perth Glory went down to Wellington Phoenix, the first time Wellington Phoenix have won in a long, long time away from home. And Sydney got up somewhat controversially against Newcastle Jets. Paddy, we'll start up the top with the North Queensland Fury, and that penalty was the clincher.
Tell us about the penalty.
Mariners totally dominated the second half. North Queensland Fury totally dominated the second half. The Mariners were up 1-0, and in about the 83rd minute, Dave Williams got taken down by the Central Coast Mariners keeper, and all the players thought it was a penalty. All the crowd thought it was a penalty. Okay. Everyone at home thought it was a penalty. Referee didn't think it was a penalty. All legs, no ball. It was as clear-cut as you
Aren't you supposed
seen.
To get those decisions at home?
Well, it's amazing how often you don't get them when you're on the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, that's right. That's harsh on North Queensland. They're the games – we've discussed this before on their post. They're the games they need to win because it's a hard road trip for any team. And
very briefly, I'd just like
– Central Coast for winning it.
Yeah, and Central Coast are coming along very, very nicely. And credit to Graham Arnold, who not a lot of people rated as a coach before.
It's true. We do have to give him credit because we did drag his name through the mud. So,
if anything is showing that there's a very wide gap between coaching at an international level and coaching at an A-League level.
Of course there is, but I mean, I still am really struggling to get on the Graham Arnold bandwagon. I mean, big credit to the Central Coast for doing well, because they're a team that have copped a lot of stick from me, and I'm sure from a lot of other supporters, because they've just been a lackluster team to watch. So I think it's, like I said, I think it's great that they're doing well, but again, I'm still reluctant to get on their back.
Yeah, me too. And the big game of the weekend was Brisbane versus Adelaide. First versus second on the ladder.
Spanking.
Brisbane absolutely killed it. They were 1-0 up, had a man sent off, and then went on to score 3 goals in the next 11 minutes. Kept attacking after they went man down. It was fantastic to watch. One of the most convincing A-League displays I've seen since the grand final.
They look like the Melbourne business, don't they?
Yeah, they
incredible.
Do. They
and, fantastic. You know, after the horrendous sort of end of the season, losing all those players, and even in the off-season, I thought they were making some some terrible choices with replacement players. I was really wondering how they were going to survive, and they've just come out. And Postecoglou, well, he's done an amazing job.
I think he's delivered
a really, really good team.
Yeah, I think everybody was really nervous about, you know, the whole fact that they were going through such a high turnover of players and there was a lot of disarray at the club, and it was like, well, you know, if there's disarray at the management level and the coaching level, then how do you expect a team to perform? So, yeah, I think it's good for them too. Let them, you know, go on and do their best.
And you have to give it to Ange. He had a clear plan from the start. He got rid of all the less mobile players, the Bob Malkins, the Charlie Millers, the Craig Moores. These guys are big names and not easy to get rid of at a club like Brisbane. And he brought in more agile guys, Barbarousis, Costa Rican Salazano.
Thomas Broich
is a magnificent player.
Thomas Broich, for me, is the player that I'm watching the most this season.
Me too. Oh, he's the captain of my fantasy team. He's killing
it. Yeah, he's awesome.
But here's a question that I want to pose to you, and it's on a little bit more of a controversial note. You know, a lot of these coaches, you've seen them, you know, Ange Postecoglou, who was obviously in the old NSL, and, you know, quite a few of them have, you know, come off the back of that prehistoric league. But when you get a lot of these big players, like you look at Craig Moore, for example, and how he got booted out, even Charlie Miller, you know, these are some big names, like you said, Aaron. These players have also played at the elite level. So they've played overseas where they've got coaches who are experienced and know what good quality football is. So my issue and my speculation is that when you get players of this calibre that come in, it starts to make these kind of more under-the-table coaches like an Ange Postecoglou, who hasn't seen much success as a coach, feel a bit nervous. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I definitely think that those big egos in the dressing room take a big name coach, and I think you'll find Frank Farina had the same issue in the Socceroos, dealing with the likes of Harry Kewell and Mark Viduka. It took a hoose hitting with that kind of respect to come in and demand the respect from those guys.
It's an interesting take on it, and it does make a very good argument for getting rid of those big egos, and luckily enough, the big egos meant that, luckily enough, along with those big egos came a very big age, and so it was okay that he got rid of them. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's about having control as a coach, and if you've got to get rid of those players to do it, but there's something in that.
And guys, another very close game was Melbourne Victory versus Gold Coast United. Both clubs doing relatively well in the last few weeks, and Gold Coast getting up somewhat controversially 1-0. And I say controversially in the way that they did it. They don't look like the Gold Coast of last season.
No, they don't.
Last season they came out and they were blitzing teams 5-0. Where this team. This time they're stacking their defence away from home, and they're really starting to grind out these nil all draws, Pim Verbeek style.
Thank you.
We've used his name a few times tonight.
So is this an improved professionalism at the Gold Coast, or are they not backing themselves the way they used to?
Do you think Mirren really got hurt a little bit after having such a good sort of first half of the season and then losing out? Do you think he is really feeling the pinch of that and feeling the need to grind out results and come for wins?
Well, that, for a start, it doesn't make interesting football. And at a time when, you know, you can see Mirren Blyberg, who's come out, and he's never been shy about fronting the media and professing his excellence as a coach, particularly fronting the Gold Coast United. So I don't know what kind of a ploy and what kind of a move this may be, because he's not a particularly safe man.
I think it's okay, though, Lucy, about the interesting football, because no one's really watching. So, yeah. You know, maybe it is all about results for him.
Yeah, okay, and we'll move along to the Perth Glory, who are in the most shocking run of football I've ever seen. They went down 1-0 to Wellington Phoenix, who can never win it away, so you know something is
big
really
big result for them, but really no surprise. Against any other team, even perhaps Sydney, I think they would have lost, because like you said, Aaron, they're terrible on the road. But Perth Glory, what's going on, Paddy? I mean, you're a big supporter of them.
Well, I don't think we quite have the time. Maybe next week we could go for the whole half hour on Perth Glory. But there were some interesting shots during the game of Tony Sage, the Perth Glory owner, in the stands with his head in his hands. And I was thinking, watching him there, what he has to do to get that team back on the road. And it's horrendous. He's got a very, very old team.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to pay out a lot of contracts if he wants to do that, because no one's going to pay buy these guys. No one's going to buy their contract out. They put together a team of players that were just, well, maybe even a little bit past it, in order to try and win the league, to really get some glory this year. They've failed, and now they are paying the price for that, and it's a very, very expensive price. Perth Glory will be difficult to bring back for a very long time.
They got rid of Mitchell. Well, they took him upstairs. Yep. And then they hired Ferguson. What kind of move is that? If you're trying to change the culture within the club, you don't appoint the assistant who's been part of the problem all along.
Yeah, it wasn't a good move. If you remember, I think it was a season ago, maybe two, Perth Glory were having some problems. And when Mitchell came in, one of the big steps that he did was to implement that sort of player power system where he elected a leadership group, or he got a leadership group elected. And they really, it was that sort of ownership really brought some good results to the club. They seem to have lost that. And now with Mitchell gone, I think they really are up Stuck Creek. Ferguson isn't the man for it. Mm.
Okay, and the very last game was Sydney, and it was that goal against Newcastle Jets.
That goal.
That goal.
Lads, was it out?
I think we can come to the conclusion that it was out.
Of course
it was
out.
I think cameras have shown that it's out. But the most controversial thing was the linesman actually flagged for it. The linesman put his flag up.
That's the issue, isn't
it? They scored. The Jets stopped playing. It was turned into a tap-in. And then all of a sudden, no problems. The referee awards the goal. So,
so miscommunication there between the linesman and the main referee.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. You know, you learn it all the way through junior football and upwards. You play to the whistle.
Yeah, that's right.
And we even saw that in other leagues around the world.
Oh, look at what happened to Liverpool.
Exactly right. So you play to the whistle, and they simply didn't do it, and they paid the price.
So Sydney getting themselves off the foot of the ladder. They've taken over the Newcastle Jets and the North Queensland Fury to move themselves into third last now. Good on them.
Well, you know, at least it's not damaging the reputation too much of, look, if you win the league one season, you're going to lose it the next. So
it seems to be the A-League way.
You can hardly say they've turned the corner, though. They've sort of sidling up to the corner. You can see it in the distance. Sydney are a long way from coming good.
Okay, and we better move things along, guys, and we'll just run very quickly through the A-League schedule for this week. We've got, coming up on Wednesday, loving this midweek football, Adelaide United versus Perth Glory. I'm not even going to bother asking for tips here, guys.
Surely it doesn't really matter, but with, you know, a lot of key players out for Adelaide and Perth feeling like they're being very pinched at the moment for quality, they could come out firing. I don't know, don't quote me, but, I think it could go either way, to be honest, though, but predictions, obviously Adelaide then.
I think it's going one way and it's going straight down for Perth Glory. That's,
straight down for Perth Glory.
I think Adelaide as well. On another game on Wednesday, two of them this week, we've got North Queensland Fury versus Melbourne Heart. Fury desperate to get some points away from home. Quickly, guys.
Fury.
I'm going to say Melbourne Heart.
I'm going to go with Fury as well.
I'm going to go for Melbourne Heart.
And in the glamour, the two glamour teams, Gold Coast United versus Sydney, or should I say former glamour teams?
I'm going to go, look, because we've been talking about how safe for football the Gold Coast United have been playing, I'm going to say Sydney.
I'm going, really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going the Lizard System.
You're going Lizard System, Aaron?
I think that game's got a draw written all over it.
And the last two fixtures?
Wellington versus Central Coast Mariners. Wellington at home. Just had their long run of home wins taken over, but I'll go for Wellington as well.
Yeah.
Paddy?
Wellington.
And Newcastle Jets versus Adelaide United.
What are we going to say for that one? Adelaide, they're going to be doubling up twice in 1 week. I'm going to have to say the Jets. Say the Jets.
Come on, Adelaide got new owners. They're riding the crest of the wave.
I'll go with Adelaide as well. But unfortunately, guys, we've run out of time. So stay with us for the Canberra show with Pete Funnell. And guys, as always, if you go into the Near Post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst.